Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another great episode. You all, I'm so excited about today's guest because it's one of my favorite brands, 818 Tequila, and we have CMO Kathleen Brain here who breaks down how that came to be, how they're reaching Gen Z, and the amazing global impact that they're doing in their communities that they are partnering with in Mexico and just the planet and just so much more. So if you like tequila, if you like partying, if you want to just learn and hang out and have a snack, this is the episode for you. So everybody, let's get into today's episode with 818 Tequila CMO Kathleen Brain. Kathleen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Before we get into everything that 818 is up to, I want to know, what are you currently listening to?
Listening to?
Yeah, what's on repeat?
Okay, well, it's Las Culturistas is like my favorite podcast right now. I know you meant music, I couldn't even go to music because I listen to that podcast so much. I'm like all the way in the archives from like 2016. I'm really just binging. I just had a baby, so there's a lot of things you do where you can't be watching something. You just have to be listening. You're like washing dishes, folding laundry for the 20th time. So that's been my on repeat, Lost Culture. And obviously the new Beyonce country song, Texas Hold'em, is cannot get it out of my head.
As it should. Wait, are you binge watching anything like TV wise? Like, what are you watching?
Okay, so I feel like when I spoke to you first, we talked about this and I hadn't watched it yet. And now I am watching The Traitors. And only am I watching The Traitors, I am so into it. And I don't know when this will air, but when this is being recorded, the finale still hasn't aired yet of Traitors season 2 US. So because I'm waiting for the next episode and I need something to watch, I've just been binging like Australia season 1, Australia season 2. Like, I am deep in the archives of The Traitors and there is so much to unpack. Really, it's a great binge.
Wait, I didn't know they had other iterations of it in different countries.
They have Australia, they have UK, they apparently have like Denmark, other tons of other iterations, and it's all normal people on the other countries. So it's very different. The games they play are different. The backstabbing is different. Not that I have not been obsessed with like the Pilot Pete storyline versus Phaedra. Like, I was obsessed, but it is also really cool to watch it with normal people. So highly recommend a binge.
Okay. I know what I'm doing this weekend now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be looking up all the other ones.
It's great. I can't recommend it.
Like, yeah, because I love when shows do like UK, like different iterations. So you really got me excited now. I now know what I'm watching.
Well, I don't watch it as much anymore, but I was really big into Drag Race during the pandemic. And so I watched all those iterations. And I just love when there's like an infinite Turtles All the Way Down iteration of a TV show where you find yourself all of a sudden watching, you know, YouTube video commentary on YouTube video shows. And then you're really up a creek, but you're like, here I am. I can't stop. Too late now, you know?
I love a rabbit hole. I welcome all rabbit holes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Okay, fast forwarding outside of TV. Take us to like how you kind of like how you got into like the spirits realm. Like, did you have like a first role in this area? Like, how did you kind of get involved in this world?
Yeah. So I, well, as maybe from my binging podcasts and TV shows can attest, I've been very into pop culture and branding and things like that since I was really, really young. I remember asking my mom if being a pop culturologist was a thing. So I think that it's not a thing, but I think a marketer is kind of, I mean, you can definitely be a sociologist, but so I really wanted to be in that space. And I think marketing was kind of the best equivalent that I could find coming out of college. And I worked in marketing my whole career. And then the spirits world kind of came a little bit later, actually. A lot of people that work in spirits or, you know, the alcohol beverage world start working in it from the very beginning and kind of move around across different verticals like sales, working like distributor management, things like that. But I just was like a marketer by trade. And then right before the pandemic, got hired at Anheuser-Busch. And from there, ended up at 818. So Anheuser-Busch was my very first marketing brand job in the BevAlc space. Super fun. And that really like kind of got me excited about it. I had been in consumer technology before then, which is really cool, but it's definitely less lifestyle branding oriented. It's a lot more product marketing, speeds and feeds, as we call that in the biz. So it was very exciting to get the chance to brand stuff and talk about brands in a lifestyle way that the BevAlc industry kind of offered me. And so, yeah, that's where I got into it.
That's so cool. And were you always like into marketing? And you just touched on that. Were you always like a big like marketing person, that friend in the group that's like, oh, I love their branding or love this?
It's weird. And I'm an older millennial. And so I think marketing has changed and branding and strategy has changed so much from throughout my lifetime. I remember being a kid and being really into the MasterCard Priceless campaign, for example, which is an iconic campaign. But that it was the touch points that you had as a consumer were way more siloed and way more monopolized by, you know, specific things like TV, out of home, and you didn't have as much variation. So it felt very concentrated, which was really cool. I really liked, you know, like the Mad Men ethos, kind of watching that show and thinking of myself going to an ad agency. But then as I got older and as the internet started to become a real thing, like literally when I was a kid, we didn't have a computer in my house until I was 13. So that's the age that I'm talking about and kind of where my marketing brain shifted over. But then I was really into kind of web 1.0 ways of communicating. And that's when I think branding became a different word for me. Before it was only like commercials, campaigns, very concentrated storytelling. And then in my early college days and, you know, once web 1.0 kind of led into the early 2000s, I started to think about, oh, wow, maybe branding can live on the internet. Maybe social media is a way to advertise. And then I got really hooked. And I was like, okay, I want to do this. This is where I want to be for my career.
I love that. No, I'm one of those two where it's like, we had so many, like the Pepsi, Britney Spears one, like iconic branding. Just so many.
Iconic.
Literally just a moment for that. Like, truly.
I could cite it right now for those who think I could literally do it. It's just like perfect. Perfect. Anyway, continue.
Like, that was just one of those that like always inspired me. And I'd be like that friend that's like, oh, you guys, I love how they did such and such campaign, or like the H&M holiday campaigns, and like just so many. And I feel like from that, it's just like, wow, like marketing and branding is more than just like we would see in Mad Men where it's like the agencies like that, but it's like so much more. It's the social campaigns. It's beyond all of that.
It's community. It's engagement. And there's so many different touch points now that you can talk to people through, which makes it really fun. But also there's so many options that sometimes you have, you know, choice decision paralysis just because of the plethora of ways that you can talk to a consumer. So it becomes so much more about that strategy as well as the branding, which I love. Like, this is what I love. I wouldn't be doing it anymore if I didn't love it so much, but it definitely has changed. And it's cool to have been a part of kind of the beginning of the internet's rise and how it's affected marketing.
No, and like, I have so many points on that that we'll get into, because
I can go on that till the cows come home. I can go on that till the cows come home.
I love that. I love that.
But I want to know, like, for those who aren't familiar, can you kind of tell us a little bit more about, like, what your daily role is at 818 and then a little bit about the brand for those who aren't as familiar with it?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm the chief marketing officer of 818, which is a tequila brand founded by Kendall Jenner. If you've heard of her, it is a beautiful, delicious tequila. We have three different of our base SKUs. So we have a Blanco, an Añejo, and a Reposado. And then we also have an 8 Reserve, which is our, you know, more premium tequila. So right now we have four options, which is great. There's something for everybody in our portfolio. And we've been around since 2021. So I actually started at 818 right after our launch. And I've been there for almost 3 years now, which is insane. It's been my favorite job I've ever had. And it's been sometimes the hardest job I've ever had, but also my favorite because we built it from the ground up. We have this amazing team. And it's just a really good time. We have really, really cool consumers and fans who really love our product, who really love our brand, who really understand the sort of ethos that we're trying to put out in the world. And that kind of consumer engagement, especially having worked at really bigger corporations and bigger companies, it's the kind of consumer engagement that all these bigger companies are really gunning for, but that's so hard to authentically create and capture. And we've done it, and it's just, we love our consumers so much. Then we hope they love us back because we that's a big part of our world is that branding and that community.
No, it's so true because I feel like you all were kind of the first ones that really went after Gen Z and just really kind of just knew what to do. And I feel like as one, people were like, oh, this isn't just like a teeny bopper like brand. This is like an actual, like the second actual one that we can take seriously. And you guys did it so well.
Well, it's one, I have to give a major shout out because I'm like, major shout out to Kendall Jenner sounds so funny, but that's what I'm going to do. It sounds like I don't even know. The way I said it sounded weird, but it is her brand. Like everything from the beginning onward has been her. And she just innately really knew exactly what you just said. She knew what the consumer wanted and what they were looking for. And we created something. I remember my very first interview with her when I was interviewing for the job. First of all, I wasn't ready at all because it was sort of a last minute like scheduling change. And I was like, well, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to hop on this call. But it was during the pandemic. So I was wearing a tie-dye sweatshirt, which I know it probably strikes fear to the hearts of many, the memories of the tie-dye, the tie-dye yes. moment.
Oh my gosh, had. Yes.
I know. And I literally sat on the call. I was like, it was a Zoom call. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm wearing this sweatshirt. So embarrassing. The most fashionable woman in the world. And I'm like, I'm so sorry about this sweatshirt. But when on that call, we really just jammed out on what we thought the brand meant. And she had a very clear idea of, I don't want this to be about just straight partying. I don't want this to be just about cocktails, although it is about cocktails. I want it to be about the feeling that you have with friends and family when you're at home and it's late at night and you're kind of like drinking tequila over dessert or on your couch and you're telling secrets and stories. And there's this like magical moment of connection. And that was really the spark of the brand. We sort of have three brand pillars and that's one of them. It's the magical moments. And I think she, from the very beginning, had a really keen understanding of that. And also just an incredible visual eye, incredible. Like all the branding and all the Instagram, all the website, the POS, which is what we call point of sale in stores, all of that, her eyes have been on it. And she has seen and crafted this from the beginning. And she just had a really good sense of what people wanted to see. And I think I feel very flattered and I hope our team feels flattered. Sometimes we're annoyed by it, but we're flattered. We're only annoyed when people are selling stuff on TikTok, but we see a lot of people like knocking off our brand iconography. And again, we're flattered, but we can't sell on TikTok legally because we're alcohol. So please stop doing that. we enjoy seeing the people's love for it and how that iconography has become so important and cool. Like it's really been awesome to see. And yeah, I mean, I don't even remember what original question you were asking because I could wax rhapsodic about the visuals and the world that we've created and the brand. But so what was your original question?
No, that was it. Like, because I want to get into like, you got like the branding and all that. But no, you answered the question just like giving a background on the brand and the company. But you touched on like my first point is like, first of all, like I feel like you guys really brought like the community sense with the amazing merch, like the hats and all that stuff. Like, I feel like she just knows what we need. Like, how do you guys kind of decide on that?
You know what? I think she does. I think she does. And I really have found her to be so incredible to work with. I've learned so much. You know, I was so deep in the corporate marketing world, and there's so much there that I've learned and I've carried with me. And I've had amazing mentors throughout my career. Mentorship is so important. I actually got my 818 job through a connection that I made at Samsung. Just lots of like cool people I've learned from. But I think it was really helpful for me to kind of step out of that, like we're sitting in a conference room marketing mindset, and talk to somebody who was like living in the world and saying, hey, I think this is where we can really bring the brand to life. And that kind of input and her guiding voice as the founder was so important. And I think it's clear in the brand, you know, I hope it's clear in the brand that people can see the amount of love and care that's been put into everything that we do. And I mentioned we had three pillars. Obviously, the one is the magical moments of the branding. One of the other pillars is the liquid. So that same amount of care has been put into making sure that this product tastes amazing. I mean, before she even launched it, it had won all these blind taste tests and was entered as, you know, a product that didn't have a name, but was, you know, whose tequila is this? Mythical tequila belonged to? And it won all these taste tests and people were really loving the taste. So she really took the time there as well. And now we have an amazing distillery partner in Mexico. We have an amazing team down in Mexico. It's just been a really, really wonderful ride.
And like another cool thing that you guys do is like the social strategy. And I feel like what a lot of brands, whether it's beverage or not beverage, they kind of struggle with, okay, how do we market our product without marketing our product? And I feel like you guys do such a good job of balancing with like UGC and really focusing on community and friends and all that. Like, how do you all kind of decide like what to do, what to post, and kind of like constantly be telling that story without like shoving the people feeling like they're just like constantly being sold to?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think that there is something about the alcohol industry that makes that a little bit easier for us and also harder. So both easier and harder. We cannot sell directly to consumer in alcohol, right? Because of the laws in the United States of America that go back to prohibition. When you start working at AB, they teach you this, all this. They give you this, you know, you sit at a Zoom meeting and you watch a whole video and it's actually fascinating, the history of alcohol laws in America, but that could be a whole other podcast. But because of that, because of the three-tier system, we can't sell as a company directly to consumer in spirits. You know, wine, there's different rules and such, but in spirits, we can't sell direct to consumer. So you know, there's ways around it. There's e-commerce sites. There's the, you know, the Uber Eats, formerly known as Drizzlies of the world. There's Reserve Bar, things like that sort of help you be able to sell online. But we don't have the ability to, for example, I just mentioned TikTok Shop. Like, we can't sell directly on TikTok Shop. We can't sell directly on Instagram on their e-commerce platform. Like, we cannot link out to a consumer in the same way. So I often get a lot of emails from people saying like, increase your direct to consumer conversion. And I'm like, how? You want to call the US government and tell them we need to change the laws? And obviously there are workarounds. And so those that are in the alcohol industry that are listening to this, there's been a lot of work done, especially since COVID, on ways to sell online. But fundamentally, you can't sell DTC. So with that, we then don't have to always be selling on our Instagram, because we're not always like linking to a product, linking out, you know, saying, hey, this drops right now, go online this time. We don't have to do that. We can really focus on storytelling. We can focus on community building. I think it's really, you mentioned UGC. It's a really important part of our strategy, is looking at what our consumers are doing and how they're communicating with us and how they're bringing our products into their everyday lives. And then using that as you know, insight. We think of it as a two-way street. I also think another bit of Kendall's kind of strategy that's been imparted onto my team is we like to market at the speed of culture. We like to think, okay, what's happening in culture and how do we react to that? But we also never want to do that in sort of a too slapdash kind of way, because we want our brand to be very pure and very about these things that we think are iconic for our brand. And not to say I don't love the sort of earned ideas that are very culturally relevant, like real-time marketing. One of my most iconic marketing memories is, I'm going to say this and I hope it resonates, but you can always dunk in the dark, the Oreo moment from Super Bowl in 20, 13, 12. I don't know the year, but I was at Edelman Digital. And that ushered in like a whole world of real-time marketing on social and how, you know, you should be live reacting on Twitter and you should be creating earned products like 2 days after something happens. And I love that. I think that's really cool. But for us, we're so much more focused on the sort of core ethos of the brand. And we do really cool collabs that are timely, but we're not a sort of real time in that way. And I think that's a part of our strategy. It's that we're listening to our consumer, we're staying true to who we are, and we're focusing on those brand messages that we feel resonate.
And like, do you ever feel like kind of like that pressure to be like, okay, this is going on right now in that realm, why aren't they doing this? Or like, kind of, how do you kind of like let people know like, hey, like that really doesn't make sense? I feel like a lot of times, like when stuff happens, people are like, act on it. And if it fails, like whatever, but like, just put it out there.
Well, I'm very lucky that this is a job in which the team, not just Kendall, but our other leadership and the sales and operations CEO, they have incredible confidence in our team. And so we can kind of make our case on our POV. I think a lot of times in these bigger companies, a lot of these decisions are happening around conference tables and everybody has a different POV and people say, act on this, do this now. And there's absolutely an importance to having these big teams and these lots of different opinions. But I think something that's nice about having a small team is that you know, one of the pros, obviously there's some cons, but you don't have to take a decision through like 9 different levels of approvals. You can kind of just say, okay, we're going to do this or we're not going to do this. And that's been really nice for me. And I think, you know, there's obviously cons to that too. There's times where it might be nice to have an extra set of eyes on something or vice versa. But for us, that's been really helpful in terms of, again, staying true to the sort of core of the brand. And we also like to think about when we're on social and when we're looking at what's going on in culture, there's a couple key message points we want to hit, and we're able to look for like what actually is relevant to us too, which is important. You know, we as a tequila shouldn't be opining on everything. Like, there, you know, if there's a, like the dunk in the dark moment is a good example, right? The lights went out at Super Bowl. Oreo was a Super Bowl sponsor. And so they tweeted, you can always dunk in the dark. It was like a really real time moment. They actually even had a visual. That poor graphic designer had to do a visual in like 2 seconds when that happened. But you know, if that happened now, and 818's not a Super Bowl sponsor, we don't have a commercial at Super Bowl, it wouldn't make sense for us to tweet like, mm-hmm. you can always drink tequila in the dark. Like, we don't need to comment on that necessarily if we're not a part of that story. So I think that's important. It's like keeping a realistic idea of where we should be entering the conversation.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Jen.
No, that's so true, because I feel like, again, especially when it comes to platforms too, everybody's like, oh, well, so-and-so, our competitors are on this platform and that platform, so we should be on that platform. And it's like, everything doesn't make sense to be on that platform or respond to everything, like you said. Like, you kind of just stick to your brand ethos and know what totally. You guys stand for.
And it's interesting, because I think I have a very specific POV on this, coming from working at Samsung for so long. So I worked before my time at Anheuser-Busch. I was at MetLife for a little bit, and then I was at Samsung for a little over 4 years. And that was kind of my biggest, that was really where I grew as a marketer from, you know, kind of a, like a manager, sort of just like doing what I was told to leading a team on the digital side. And it really, it's where I learned everything formatively for me. But what's tough about Samsung is that Samsung is, you know, their customer, their base is everyone. They're like, everyone wants a TV, you know, everybody wants a phone. Like, we don't care, young, old, male, female, they don't care. They want to sell to everybody. And that is hard for a marketer because specificity can really help you with tightening up your message, brand salience, and really breaking through. And yeah, I mean, I loved working on Samsung because we did so many cool things. And we did, at the end of my time there for social, kind of developed a community strategy where we said, we're going to talk to this community on this platform and this community on this platform. Cause we can't possibly, like, we had a gamer strategy for some of our products. And I was like, well, we can't, you know, we don't need to go on Twitch to talk to people about buying TVs. Let's go on Twitch to talk to them about our gaming software and let's do this. So it was, we had to kind of make a strategy based on that because you just can't, you can't say my audience is everyone. It just becomes too overwhelming. And I think consumers want things that speak to them. They don't want things that feel like they are for everybody. They want to feel like they're being spoken to individually, which is, you know, part of marketing.
Yeah, because I always say if you're talking to everyone, you're talking to no one. So you need to specify talking who your to audience no one.
Is. I say that too. I say that too. I say it to my team. They're probably like, oh man. Yep, I agree.
And like one thing I also like about you all that I feel like why Gen Z and millennials really resonate with 818 is your guys' is like philanthropic efforts and like what you all do and how you guys kind of touch the community. And I feel like that's something that's very important to our generations is like, we want to know like, okay, like we're supporting this brand. We love this brand, but like, okay, what also are they doing? And like, kind of like, how did you guys like kind of figure out how to make that a fundamental part of like the different good that you all do to really push that forward where people can.
Yeah, no, I swear I didn't mean for this to happen, but I'm going to say our third pillar now. I didn't mean to accidentally go through a strategy deck on this, but I am. Because I went through our first one, that's magical. And I went through our middle one, which is crafted, which is the liquid. And then our third one is spirited, which is our sustainability and our ethos, our brand ethos of sustainability and give back. So here we are. Thank you for that, Colin. That was helpful. No, I completely agree. I mean, I think another thing that Kendall really had in her gut from the get-go was this needs to be a brand that's as sustainable as possible. And so we do a lot of stuff in that regard. And I think, so I can kind of give you a little bit of an overview. I think there's a lot of stuff on our website if anyone's interested in reading more. We have some beautiful documentaries about the work we do. But, you know, overall, we operate a very sustainable supply chain. So our glass supplier is like an industry leader in sustainability. They use recycled glass cutlet. They are, you know, reducing their reliance on natural gas. Our corks, our boxes, our labels, they're all certified by the Forest Stewardship Committee, which is our council. Sorry, I misspoke. And then our distillery, which is it's beautiful, beautiful, super state-of-the-art distillery, but they also focus on, you know, sustainability methods. And they're run on biomass, which is actually the production of agave creates waste. Some of that waste is then reused to then power the distillery for the next round, which is amazing. And they also are run on solar power. So very, very sustainable as much as we can be. And then in addition to that, you know, we're a member of 1% for the Planet, which is a great organization. We also were just certified a B Corporation, which is very exciting. That was last year around this time. Mm. And as a part of all this work, we have a partner in Mexico called Sacred, which is saving agave for culture, recreation, and development. I just had to check my notes to make sure I said it correctly, but that's what they're called. I always mix up recreation and development. I always say development and recreation. So I was like, I got to get it. With them, we've done a really cool program where we're, again, taking that waste and those byproducts from tequila production and making bricks out of them. So it's like the bagazo fibers and the vinyasa liquid waste from the tequila production. Actually, we mix them with like sand and adobe and make bricks. And then we donate those bricks to projects throughout Mexico. I think they're a really cool organization because not only are they doing these community projects, they have this really strong ethos and way of working where they go to communities and ask what they need versus sort of coming in as an outsider and saying, we're going to build you this. And the community might be like, we don't need that. So they're very, very focused on these are the needs that the community themselves is expressing. And that that way of working was very important to us. And then there's a lot of other stuff too. I mean, we're doing a regenerative agriculture project. There's so much to, it's been also a great journey for me to learn about all of this stuff in the tequila space. Cause at Anheuser-Busch, I worked on, you know, wine beyond beer, which was like RTDs, but I didn't really work directly on tequila. So this has been also a really fun learning journey for me, just to understand this process and how important it is, how historic it is, and then all the different things that we were able to do in Mexico, in and around our distillery to help preserve this industry and to help, you know, pay it forward. So it's been really great.
My mind is literally blown by all of that.
I know it's so much. I was like, oh God, I can tell there's more. I stopped. There's a whole thing about the rewilding. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to stop. But it's really, and actually, speaking of sort of marketing and comms, we sent a documentary crew down there last year, actually like almost a year ago now, and filmed a lot of these projects live and on the ground. And we created this 4-part documentary series that we put on Instagram and on our YouTube. And it is just, there's so much information that we could have done. I was talking to our creative director about it. We could have done like a feature length film, documentary film on the work there and how cool the communities are. And it's a really like, awesome storyline. And we definitely want to keep working with those communities and keep these conversations going and keep talking about it on our social. But I think we also have to balance like, you know, what I think people want to learn, but they sometimes, we have to balance how we share the information, right? Like I wanted to make a 45-minute video, but I was like, okay, well, people watch this. I don't know. Maybe we should cut it down to a little more digestible. But I think it's fascinating. And I'm really happy that that Kendall made it a big part of our company from the get-go. And I'm really happy that we have created all of this storytelling around it, around the work that we're doing, and hopefully have made it interesting and people are learning something from it on our chat channels.
No, I love that. And I think that as like research has shown that more and more consumers from all ages, everybody cares about like what good is the company. Everybody wants to know like how's the company giving back? Are they helping the community that they're in? Are they doing that? So I feel like putting that stuff out there, more and more people, they want to see that, want to know whether they'll watch like a full 45-minute documentary. At least like they know that, okay, like me buying this product, I'm giving back and I know I'm doing some good. I'm not just like throwing money to something and they're not doing anything about it. Like they're turning this into something good.
100%. Yeah, 100%. And I think consumers are really savvy, and especially millennials and Gen Z, because we've seen the internet come to life. We have so many more sources of information. Not to say that older consumers aren't savvy. I just think that the information has become so much more readily available with the advent of the internet. And so they can tell when it's not real. Like they can feel when it feels false or a label slap or, you know, greenwashing. And we had a lot of sustainability. We call them sustainability dinners that we did last year for Earth Month with our partners at Sacred, as well as our CEO, and, you know, invited press and influencers in the space to sort of come talk to us about it. And there were a lot of people who were rightfully and fairly skeptical because they're used to brands kind of doing this in a way that's not real. And we really are. And I believe we did sway them, but I hope we did. You know, hopefully no one's going to come email you and say, I was not swayed, in fact. But I believe we showed them, you know, this is a real thing we're doing and we're really passionate about it. And it is, we do not have an over-engineered brand structure. We, as I mentioned, we have 3 pillars. And so a third of our brand is this work. It's very important to us for that reason. So
yeah, because you can always tell like the brand for Earth Month that'll like post 2 or 3 pictures of Earth in a tree and then they archive that immediately after.
They're like, here's one tree and here's a crying teardrop for the Earth. And no, I know. I don't know. This is going to sound so granola, and I apologize. But I think it's true for me. I'm a bit of a crunchy one. Tequila is made from the earth, so we have to be nice to the earth. we got to give back to her what she's given to us. So I think it's important that we do it, both for my own personal feelings. It's very important. And then, you know, as we've seen with our brand, it is a core part of our DNA.
No, I feel like I'm like a soft chew granola. I have some things that I'm like very like,
I have things that. I am stealing that because I am a soft chew granola. Because I am crunchy until I'm not. My husband is from Oregon.
It's giving Nature Valley. He's Nature Valley.
It is giving Nature Valley 100%. Like, I'm like, oh my God. And when I'm not even going to get into all the stories I could tell you. We'll have another podcast called Kathleen and her husband and their stories of learning to live together in New York City. I'm definitely a soft true granola girl myself, but it's really important to us. And I think from a marketing standpoint, like the storytelling we do, and now people are going to hopefully not, but they're going to go on our Instagram and be like, oh, this is pillar one, this is pillar two. But we keep it simple because again, simplicity, staying true to who we are as a brand, like these are all things that are really important to us and how we come to life.
And just the community aspect too, like you guys did the 818 college tour, like the what other iconic, God. First of all, but like, how do you get
Colin? I am 30. I'm not even gonna say I am in my mid 30s. Let's just say that. And I was crawling under bars in Alabama, like handing our photographer a shot to like give to Kendall. Like it was a hilarious. My phone fell in a bucket of like slop.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
Not slop, but like where they pour the half drank drinks behind the bar. And I was like, oh my God, am I in college again? This is crazy. The community is very important to us. And I think it was really important to Kendall and really important to our team that we got out there and just said hello to the consumers that were supporting us and that were 818 Tequila fans. And, you know, obviously it's a college tour. It's all 21 plus and it's all in bars. So it's mostly seniors. So they're kind of in there like, let's go. It's the end of my time here. Like I really am just looking for these moments to celebrate with my friends. And that's also been really apparent. Like the joy that we see in these stops and the vibe, for lack of a better word, I feel very Gen Z when I say that, but the vibe is just on. Everybody is happy to be there. Everybody wants to celebrate. They want to make it a moment. It's been a trip. I think it's very important to us to continue to show up for our consumers. And again, to let them know, like we're about these fun moments together with your friends. I have stories that I could tell for all those bar stops because you also kind of feel like a rock star. Like it's weird. You walk in and everyone's cheering for you because they know that you're kind of advancing Kendall's arrival and you're like, you're cheering for me. Also, a lot of these girls, okay, I told this to my husband and my friends in my age range, my 30 something friends. I guess there's this thing now where people show messages on their phone.
Oh, have you seen this? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like in crowds. Mm-hmm. I literally was talking to my team, who's a lot of Gen Z younger people on my team, and I was saying things like, what is this app they're using? And they were like, they're using Instagram. Like they're like, Kathleen, come on, get it together. But we're in the crowd and people are putting on their phones things like, I want a job at 818, I want to work at 818 marketing, here's my phone number. And I don't know, it was incredibly, incredibly flattering. And it felt really, it was really special. Like it's weird to say that being in a bar in UGA, you know, drinking and everything is like this special moment, but it really felt very validating for the work that we've done. And it felt like, you know, that our consumer understands us and we understand them. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful, Colin. No,
it was so, cause I just remember seeing it on TikTok and I was just like, wow, like it, like this moment like that was making the brand just so just touchable, human, just real.
I love it. And I think for people to see Kendall in that way, in that world is really cool for people too, to see her in that situation. And she's loving it. Like it's apparent. Again, consumers are savvy. They know when someone doesn't want to be there. They know when someone is just putting their name on a brand that's not really their brand. And I hope for everybody, it's become really apparent that that's just not the case with us. Like, this is her brand. This is our team. We are a small, little scrappy team and we all love each other. And it's really a special one. I'm very proud to work here.
And how do you guys decide, like, outside of like the college tour, but how do you guys decide like what events and things to like pop into or activate in? Is it something that like you guys are looking at cultural relevance or is it just like what aligns?
Totally. So there's a couple things we look at when we're looking at our events. And it, for us, like the two key platforms we use, partially because we're just a small brand, right? We're not usually doing a ton of advertising on TV. We're not doing it. We're doing some out of home, but not a ton. We're just, we're small. You know, we're not a big player yet in that space. But well, we are a big player in the tequila space, but neither here nor there. But we are, you know, we're not doing sort of those bigger campaigns yet from that standpoint. But what we are doing a lot of is digital, social, and experiential in real life, which I also think is really where we want to see our core consumer. So when we look at our experiential activations, we're often thinking about what is a timely thematic moment for us that also helps us sell in our key messages. So, you know, I mentioned our pillars, but there's also some messaging that we hit within those pillars. So one of them under our crafted pillar is versatility of tequila. So tequila, historically, especially for my generation, there were all these songs and things when I was in college about Patron and doing shots. Yes. And getting hammered and Patron and shots. And you know, not to bad talk Patron at all. They're great. They're an iconic brand. But that was the messaging. The messaging was shot, shot, shots. There was literally a song where they would scream, shot, shot, shots, iconic everybody. iconic song. So that is what we're really trying to change as for this next generation of tequila drinkers, is to say tequila isn't just for shots and margaritas. It's for elevated cocktails. It can be a substitute for a bourbon, for a vodka, for a rum in a cocktail. It can also be, you know, for sipping, not for shooting. So we often look at moments where we can kind of tell that story. So we've done a couple of really fun pop-ups. One we did in 2022, I might be misspeaking, but a couple years ago with Blank Street in New York for Fashion Week, we did like a coffee tequila pop-up to kind of show again the versatility of tequila and also reframe tequila as not only summer, right? Because you think of margaritas, you think of summer. Mm-hmm. And again, we think tequila is a year-round spirit. So we did that, which was really, really cool. Unfortunately, one point of it that was hilarious was we had this great turnout. Everyone was super excited, but it was randomly like the warmest day in February in history. I think it was 62 degrees outside. So in New York, so the messaging around the cold didn't quite hit because we were like, would you like a hot coffee with 62 degrees? But luckily we had an iced coffee option. But it was beautiful and we got to see people in real life. And then we did a similar model with Alfred's, which is a coffee shop in LA. And really focused there on tequila. So mixing tequila with, you know, iced tea. Again, that was more of a summer National Tequila Day play. But again, just thinking about here's the key messages we're trying to get across. Here's the insight. And how do we bring it to life in a way that's going to really engage with our consumers? We're also looking for brands that have a similar sensibility to us. So Alfred's, really amazing branding, very, very high quality and a big emphasis on visuals. And just a lot of that same understanding of that world that we share. So we look for partners when we do these things that make sense for us as a brand too.
I love that. And then for my last one, like for everybody who's listening, it's like, oh, Kathleen, love that. You're so cool. Like you go, girl.
I don't know if they're thinking that, but we'll find out, won't we?
For those who are like wanting to reach Gen Z and younger consumers also from brand beyond just spirits, like what advice would you have for them to kind of like figure out how to best market to Gen Z and millennial consumers?
I think you have to listen to Gen Z and millennials to hear what they're saying. I think you know, ideally you have people that are on your team that represent the consumers you're trying to reach, which is a huge one. I think, you know, in general, again, I said this already, but it's true. Consumers are savvy, especially the younger consumers. They've seen it all. They have a lot of access to media and to different touch points. And so they understand when things are fake. So it's really important to kind of stay true to who you are as a brand and not run off into just a direction based on, you know, a whim and a prayer. So I think those are my two pieces, like listen to the folks on your team that are in that generation and what they're thinking is cool and trending at the moment. And then also, you know, stay true to who you are as a brand and really prioritize authenticity over speed sometimes, right? You know, I like to market at the speed of culture, but I think just prioritizing the authenticity to the brand, especially for a younger consumer base who is so inundated with messaging, is really important.
I love that. Drops mic. Done. That's it, kids. That's everything.
Oh, God. I know. You know, no. I'm really lucky. I have a great team. I have a great team. I'm like just dying thinking about them listening to this. I'm like, oh my God, they're gonna read me for filth. It's gonna be fine.
But thank you so much, Kathleen, for being here and giving us so much knowledge and sharing all the facts.
Oh God. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled. This was great. Thank you for listening to me talk about our sustainability stuff for a long time. I appreciate it. And yeah, thank you for the time.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at Adweek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.